Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. This week, I want to talk about an important subject, trying to understand prophetically the moment we're living through. Something about the times we live in. You know, the recent popes have worked very hard to help us understand, how to read the signs of the times, and then how to interpret through that what the Spirit is saying to the church. Is there something, we all know we're living through difficult and challenging, upsetting times, confusing times. We're still battling the COVID virus that's still affecting the world at a significant level. We're still experiencing kind of dramatic political shaking and division, financial instability, and just a lot of breakdown, like the center's not holding in many ways people's experience. And we even within the church itself, divisions, difficulties, open disagreements that are beyond the norm for sure, troubling messages from various leaders in the church, things like that. And so it's a time clearly of shaking. I thought it might be helpful this week to just look at and to offer a perspective, not just my personal perspective, but biblical passages that I think shed some light on what we're experiencing, things that the recent popes have said that discern the times and shed light on it as well. And hopefully it can provide some encouragement and a way of seeing and understanding. One of the things I like to say just to begin with, something I've talked about many times over the years, is the perspective of St. John Paul II, Pope Benedict XVI, even some of the words of Pope Francis and others. So I just want to start with that discernment. I remember St. John Paul II said at one point in his pontificate that part of the function and the vocation of the Vicar of Christ is to do just that. That is to read the signs of the times and to help interpret for the church what the Spirit is saying, because that's a key thing for us. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church is one of the primary exhortations Jesus actually gave. If you understand the seven letters of the book of Revelation, to the letters to the seven churches, each of them, you know, so trying to communicate what is the Spirit saying to the church in this situation or that situation. So before he became Pope, shortly before it, St. John Paul II made a statement while he was in Philadelphia, I think at the end of the Eucharistic Congress, where he gave a kind of picture of what he thought was unfolding in the world. And it went something like this. He said, "We're now entering the final confrontation between the gospel and the anti-gospel, the church and the anti-church, Christ and the antichrist." He said, "This battle lies within the plans of divine providence." He also said that he thought that wide circles of American society don't see it, at least at that time. That was back in the 70s. He said, "But this is a battle that we're all called now in the church to pass through." And he wasn't, you know, I'm not sure if he meant literally the Jesus is going to be returning soon, but nonetheless, very dramatic terms. And he said it as a cardinal, as a bishop. He didn't say it as the Pope. But clearly he had a prophetic understanding of reality. He was trying to understand the breakdowns of the broader culture, what was happening spiritually, the particular attacks on the church. And so I've held on to that. My good friend Ralph Martin wrote a booklet based on it. Archbishop Vigano actually read it when he was the papal nuncio here in the United States. He read it at a USCCB meeting of all the bishops of the United States just a few years back. And in it, he said, this describes something of what we're seeing and what we're experiencing, and that St. John Paul II had some real foresight into what's unfolding. So what to take away from it? Well, first of all, when you talk about prophetic perspectives or prophetic words, Scripture is pretty clear about how to handle prophecy. First, it says, St. Paul tells us, do not despise prophecy. So don't just dismiss it offhand immediately and say you don't need to listen to it, because the Lord does want to communicate to his church. He's said he gave the church the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, each one of us, but also to guide the church itself and the authority of the church, guide us into all truth and to guide us through history and cooperating with Jesus in the building of the kingdom of God. So it says, do not despise prophecy, but instead test everything and cling to what is good. And so we're required to exercise discernment. And is it and you'd exercise a discernment in terms of sometimes a good place to start is who's the person giving the prophecy. So in the case of St. John Paul II, a man of great holiness, recognized wisdom. He was careful. He was a great leader, well-versed in the scriptures and the whole teaching of the saints and the Catholic mystical tradition and everything. So a holy man of God. And so that doesn't mean that everything a person like him says is necessarily prophetic or perfect in its understanding. But it helps us see, okay, take a close look at it. This is a wise man. This is someone who is deeply united to the Lord. And then, of course, shortly after he made that statement, he's elected pope. So I think there's a kind of added strength to the whole thing. So that's number one. And then I think just seeing in time, prophecies sometimes are never fully discerned until they come to be, so to speak. So I think it's my personal view that some of what he was warning us about and preparing us for is actually happening. Is it the absolute final moments? That is Jesus coming right around the corner? I don't know. And neither did the Holy Father. Only the Father knows. But Jesus did say in the Gospels that there were indicators, that there would be signs that would happen before his coming. I remember having a conversation a number of years ago with Dr. Peter Kraft, who was reflecting on some of this himself, another wise man, a great Catholic teacher. And he said, well, of course, only God knows. He said, he feels like this might be that time, though. And I said, why? He said, because the way the devil's strategy is unfolding and the way the battle's unfolding and what's really at stake in the moment. And he pointed out a couple of things. He said, one is the attack on family and marriage and identity, primarily through the sexual revolution over the last decades, undermining, ultimately getting to the place where it's deconstructing family life. And sexual immorality has really, and the acceptance and the radical promotion of and the normalization of all kinds of sexual immorality, which right from the beginning of the life of the church, we know that this was a big deal. Even at the Council of Ephesus, was it? In the Acts of the Apostles, where the issue, one of the questions was, should Gentiles have to be circumcised? There were some issues there that James and Peter and the apostles needed to make some decisions on. And one of the things they required him to say to make sure, he gave him a set of things. And one of the things that make sure they stay away from sexual immorality, because what we've seen in every situation historically, every history of every civilization, whenever that goes bad, whenever human sexuality gets out of control, then families start to break down, social order starts to break down, and it's a very significant problem. And so he was saying that to see how far it's gone is pretty staggering. And you see the statistics around the divorce rate, the statistics around pornography addiction, and then all the things that have come from it as well, the abortion and contraception. And the breaking down of the family is the fundamental thing, because the family is the icon of God. It's the image in that God has placed in his creation. The family images God himself. God's a communion of persons, centered on and living out self-donating love that in its core is creative, and it creates and it shares and it gives and all of that. And so the family is meant to be that image in the earth that we know and live in. And so the Christian story, the Judeo-Christian story, is a story that's been given to family and tribes of families of families. Parishes are families of families. Dioceses are families of families. And the family is the centerpiece. And the two great institutions that God himself established in the earth are family and his church. And the gates of hell shall never prevail against the church. So the great battle in our time is over the family. The devil somehow, in his strangely patient decade after decade after decade of breaking down sexual mores, and breaking down the glue of what holds a husband and a wife together, their intimacy, their union, their fidelity, these kinds of things, and their fruitfulness, we're experiencing consequences, terrible consequences of that in the earth. And so the devil knows as the family gets broken down and it gets weaker and weaker, so the church becomes weaker and weaker, because the church is built on the family. And he's at the same time, as the family's weakened, people get lost and confused, and then he sells them, he gives them, seduces them, deceives people into new identities, new worldviews, new truths, and all these things are together. So one of the things Dr. Kreef was saying, that The destruction of the family is devastating, and it's one of the big things that the enemy from the beginning of his battle wanted to bring about. And the second thing he said was the fact that we now can design human beings, mastering the genome and designing what kind of families, what kind of children we want, and the misuse of technology. It's so easy to do in the hands of fallen human beings. And also the capacity said to extend life further and further. So giving human beings the feeling like we ourselves have conquered. We're now the source of life. We can perfect life and we can extend life as if somehow through our technology, we've conquered the death problem as well. And so these are, in his mind, he said, these are fundamental things. It's hard to see the devil getting his hands on something deeper than these things. Now it's just a matter of the logical outworking of these fundamental breakdowns and shifts of worldview that have gone on and the spirit that's driving it. So, I mean, I think he makes a very, very good point. Pope Benedict XVI said it a number of times, kind of underlined these fundamental principles. He said, you know, the faith today is in danger of dying out like a flame which no longer has fuel. He said, what we're witnessing today is that the light which comes from God, which shines in his church, is begun to go dim and dark in many places in the world. Why? He said, because humanity is pushing God from the human horizon. And he said, when the light which comes from God begins to go dim, humanity loses its bearings. You know, we begin to walk in darkness. We begin to affirm what is dark. We begin to call what is evil good. We begin to define happiness apart from God, which is absolute insanity. But we are convinced of the deceptive lie that if I'm not the origin of my existence, if I'm not the origin and definition of what is good and true for myself, I can't be free. And anybody who tries to get in the way of that is imposing their commands or their will or their power on me. And no one should be able to do that. So this is one of the dominating ideas, the whole self-creative, constant self-creative freedom that's being abused in culture today because it's a spiritual battle. And it comes from decentering, decoupling from, or whatever phrase you want to put it, rebelling from the revelation that God gives to us of who we are. What is our identity? He's the one who made us. The only way we'll ever be rightly ordered internally, the only way we'll ever be at peace and to be able to be in a place of contentment is to be in the will of God. And of course, if you're living in a culture that's running away from the will of God and is saying somehow that God stands in the way of my freedom, that God is the God of the Christian, Judeo-Christian world is oppressive and bigoted and hateful and domineering and enslaving and all these kinds of ideas. This is very much present in the culture today. And so I think it does fit. I think Pope Benedict's insights are right on, as are St. John Paul II. So tomorrow what I want to do is take up Psalm 2. There's a number of Bible passages that help and kind of name their prophetic psalms or their messianic psalms or prophetic passages that I think have some application and means of understanding what we're living through. Hope you can join me then. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.